Kimberly here. This is Macabish, Cults, Classics, and Horrors. We're talking films, series, books, and life. We're starting right now.
Anybody watch Jill's debut short, Call Girl? It's on YouTube. That was so... It was only like 11 minutes. It was so good for our first one. And it had, what's his face in it? Lawrence Harvey. Because, of course, I mean, if you have a short amount of time and you need somebody who's going to creep you out, it's got to be him.
Now, if I got a short amount of time and I need someone who's going to creep me out, I'm going to choose Carlos.
Yeah.
Carlos is not creepy. You can't choose Carlos. It's got to be somebody else. He's got a good voice.
Hi, everyone.
But he's not... Hello.
How are you guys?
Good, good. Could you pronounce your last name for us?
Yes, it's Gavargazian.
Gavargazian? Oh, man, I was wrong.
Yeah, we weren't even close.
I was just saying sick.
That's the easier way. Nice to meet you all.
Glad you could come. We need a lot more women filmmakers. I read that it started with you and you picked up your dad's camcorder. So I just want to know, like, what was the movie? What was the inspiration?
I don't know if it's really one movie. I grew up loving movies and playing make-believe. And I feel like that all connects, you know, it's basically storytelling for little kids.
Sure.
And with, you know, with my friends, I would put on like little plays of sorts when we were really young. But it actually wasn't something that I even thought was that anything I could take seriously until I was almost 30, when I met like real people who made movies.
Oh yeah.
When I was younger and, you know, did stuff with my dad's like giant VHS camcorder.
Yeah,
we were
nice.
Just, you know, I know a lot of kids of my generation did that. Now they do, I'm sure, just on their phone. But we would like remake movies, and we weren't doing it. We were like doing them seriously, but just so that we could watch them and then like laugh till we cried, because it would just be like me and three friends playing like every role in whatever the hell we were making.
Awesome.
And yep. I feel like I kind of should have known back even then that I was destined to be behind the camera, because I never liked when I actually had to go do something, but I enjoyed all. I was like the one who planned everything and decided. Put the camera where it was going to be and told everyone what we were doing. And, but when I had to perform, I was like, oh God, I hate this part.
I hear that. I just got through watching your short. I was just talking to Carlos and Chris about it, Call Girl, and telling them how really phenomenal it was for our first try. Like, you got all the elements right. How did you get it all right the first time? I mean, it was really good.
Thank you so much. It's actually crazy. Next month, it will be 10 years since we shot Call Girl. And I feel like I got to figure out a way to celebrate it with Eric Cavins, who wrote that script and helped write Stylist. I can't believe it's already been that long. Part of my technique, and I joke that it's my scam or something, is to surround myself with people who are really good at what they do and more experienced than me. That's how I've kind of been my version of film school, is just doing it. I didn't go to school, and yeah, Call Girl is the first thing I made at all, other than the stuff like when I was a 12-year-old with my friends. And yeah. With the script, Eric had it, and I asked if I could direct it after at first they were going to attempt to direct it, and decided that writing is their thing and not the director part. And I just like putting that together was totally, I still don't know how it was kind of a matter of, I've been good at like networking. So I just thought of people like, who can help make this thing? I thought of my friend Brian, who was a photographer who had filmed a little bit, and just like slowly pieced it together. But the actors was really intimidating. You know, it was Lawrence Harvey from Human Centipede franchise, and Tristan Risk from American Mary, among lots of other films. And that was a weird thing, because I didn't plan on trying to work with such kind of already established horror actors, but I had met Lawrence at a convention not long before, and we become friends and stayed in touch. And I sent him the script, and just for advice, like notes or thoughts or anything. Not, I wasn't trying to get him to be in the movie. And he said he wanted to be in it when he responded to me. I was like, oh my God.
That's amazing.
It was, yeah, it was terrifying and exciting. Mm-hmm. And he lives in England. So I was like, I don't even know if that's possible or if I'm up to the challenge. And, but then I decided I'd be crazy not to take that opportunity. And then it was his connections that led us to Tristan also being interested. And I met her through the Soska sisters. And it was just like, I'm telling you, it's all the like the networking and the people you meet over time and all that like leads to little things. It's like you never know when it's going to, but it's always, it's so important to be connected in this world.
Sure.
Especially filmmaking, which takes like, you know, a whole giant tribe of people to finish a film.
Yeah. And then I was also telling Chris that your trade is, you're a stylist, hairstylist by trade, and how I thought that was hilarious and terrifying.
Right.
And awesome that you made a horror movie based on that. I love that.
Yeah. I think that's why it resonates the way it does, because it came from someone who, not that kills people, but understands the hair, that whole world. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I wanted it to feel very real, aside from the killing.
It does.
It does make me wonder, though, like, what, when I'm sitting there in the chair, what is the stylist thinking?
Right?
What should I not say? So I cut my own hair now.
I will say it did not come, even though I know it's the joke always, it did not come from any of me sitting there with like clients I dislike and fantasizing disturbing things. It was really like, I had a friend of mine, John Pata, actually, he's a filmmaker as well, and he edited The Stylist. He gifted me Robert Rodriguez's book when I first started working on Call Girl, the Rebel Without a Crew. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think I still have to finish the last part of it about 10 years later. But but what I did read inspired the shit out of me, because he really preached this idea of like, or like how Robert started was, if you don't have money, and then instead, what do you have like to your, at your disposal? That's maybe like, whether it's unique or anything, like it could be a cool car or a really cool location, you know, about, or some random abandoned place or just whatever it might be, to use those things as like kind of reverse engineer a project. Like if you have access to this cool car, then write something that has to do where that can be a main feature of the script. Sure. And so I always really thought about locations because of that, because I know that's a really good way to make your film look way bigger than it is, like money wise, without having to spend the money or build a set or decorate as much. So I think it was just one day I was in the salon and I'm like, how the hell is there not a slasher movie about a hairstyle?
Right.
And it just started there, because I was like, well, we have all the like profession based slashers of the early 90s, like the doctor, Dr. Giggles, mm-hmm. the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why don't we have a hairstyle? We have Sweeney Todd, the closest thing.
True.
But it just felt like, I was like, I've got to do something with this. It was like, it felt like this is cheesy, but like I was destined to do it.
No, that's cool though. And I watched Watch If You Dare first. And I remember I was watching your segment. I was like, oh man, this needs to be a full feature. And then I looked you up and I was like, it's a full feature.
I love that. I never know how many people might discover it through that anthology, which is from quite a while ago, which is pretty
yeah.
Awesome.
And that never happens. It's happening more now, but that never happens. We never see a short that is amazing and think, wonder if it's a feature, because it the road to the feature, getting it complete, is so long. It doesn't happen. Yes. And we've gotten used to that, but it's a happy surprise when it does happen.
Yeah, it was always my hope that it would be a feature. Even when the idea first came to me, I was like, this is a full movie. But I had only made Call Girl at the time that the idea came to me. And that's in like terms of filmmaking, Call Girl was more simple because it, since it was kind of a found footage, or more so it was supposed to look like you're watching it like in real time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as much, making the style of short film was a first film for me in many ways, because it was like, you know, covering a movie in a traditional way, not just like as if it's a webcam. So it was a huge step. And I knew, I was like, just making a short of this will be a huge thing for me. So there's no way I'm going from one short to a huge feature. So it seemed like something that we could tell in both forms that wouldn't be less than in one way. You know, sometimes a feature that is made out of a short feels like a stretched out idea. I don't think that's always the filmmaker's intention. That's more so a producer sees the short and they're like, how can we, this is awesome. Like, can we turn this into a feature versus it being like the intention from day one?
Sure.
But yeah, there's a lot of the ones I feel like people might not know about, like the Babadook started as a short, even like Saw started mm-hmm. as a short, and look where we are now. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You went from a short film to having this gigantic franchise.
To a saga.
I mean, James Wan is responsible for multi franchises now. It's pretty incredible accomplishment.
Yeah. And you started Slaughter Movie House, which I just found out about that yesterday.
Yeah. That was before I was film making anything. It was a huge reason why I started making films. It was a monthly screening series that we did here in Kansas City. The pandemic kind of killed it, essentially. But I was kind of feeling like I was stretched too thin to run it even before that.
Sure.
But yeah, it was a monthly series and we mostly showed horror, but really just kind of indie, any indie genre that's weird or what it could be, anything kind of messed up or strange.
Yeah.
And so we were showing really independent stuff, like stuff before it got distribution, because that's really the, we couldn't afford to play anything that we had to pay to show. Mm-hmm. But so through that I met so many filmmakers, and that's what put it in my head, like, oh, like real people make movies. In fact, I went to my first big convention in 2012, met filmmakers there, saw their movies, then they are what made me start the screening series. And it's the whole thing of, yeah, meeting them, it was like, made me realize that just regular people did this. It's not just like out of reach for rich people who are already connected or in Hollywood.
Sure.
It's really what like made me realize, okay, some people do, real people do this. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I don't know, for somebody who very needed cool. that amount of time to get there, I'm telling you, your work, very polished.
It's thanks to these the crews that I work with, and I have just always had a certain standard of how I want my stuff definitely to look, and sure. I always take it seriously, like the how much time I put into it. I mean, I've realized how much time I put in even to a short film is rare, so I'm like, I feel like that's the difference. If people could realize, it's the crafting and taking the time to be able to like make all those little decisions, right, and not rush it. But yeah, Alters released a lot of my short films, but I haven't made a short since the Stylus feature, and I was like, I should do that again, because these features take so long to make, so much harder.
Right. Just make a bunch of little ones, piece together anthologies. It's got to be easier, right? Especially if they're all yours, but you make really films. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I guess doing it that way, what Kimberly suggested, would allow you to kind of dabble into other genres or stories that maybe you haven't fully considered. Or, yeah, you know, fleshed out yet, and you can, you know, try it out, shoot a short for a short period of time, see how it looks, and if you're happy with it, great. If not, well, at least you've got it done. You know, you can't say you didn't try.
Or who was it? I was listening to an interview from Neil Marshall, or was it Neil Marshall? The guy that did The Descent. And he was talking about how his last decade has mostly been television, Game of Thrones and all this other shit, and it's like, a lot of people like to make comments to him about how he's stopped kind of doing features, and how he doesn't see that as like a failure. He sees that as his way of thriving, because it's like, throughout his career, would he have ever gotten to make a sword and sandal epic and a fantasy series and a slasher and this, but in doing all these different television series, he gets to tackle all these different genres, and like, And it's not such a
Oh yeah.
massive commitment to do a feature of each of them.
And anyone that would say that doesn't know the industry, because getting into TV, like directing TV like that, is huge. That's a gigantic accomplishment.
Sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
And not to, I mean, The Descent is, I think almost any horror fan would say, one of the best horror movies of like the last ever, forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. It's an all-timer.
Our Carlos here is also a new filmmaker. Do you have any words of wisdom for him?
It's funny because I think I've been like trying to tell myself this as I'm in post on a new feature right now, and I feel like the want for like a new project in my life to consume me. I think
Yeah.
it's just like not being afraid of what you haven't done yet, because it's impossible to know until you try the first time. And I think that's why I you hear so many like big filmmakers say, like, drop out of film school, just start making movies.
Oh yeah.
You can read about films forever, but like the making of it is how you actually learn how to do it.
Yeah, I remember I was about to start up film school almost 20 years ago now. And like I was saving money towards it. And yeah, I heard, I forget, I don't know if it was Tarantino or whoever said that same advice. So don't even go to film school, just make your own movie or just buy a camera or some shit. And then like I was like, you know what? He's right. So I said, screw it. I'm not going to film school. I'm gonna take that money and I'm gonna go buy a camera. And at the time, it was like a DV camera, so it's like it's shit. It looks like shit. But and then I still sat on it for 20 years, not making anything. I was like, oh, I should have maybe gone to film school.
Yeah,
Maybe
I
it would have
think
pushed me by meeting other people that are actually doing it already.
definitely.
Sure.
I think I also just saw something where Spike Lee was saying the same thing, but it is, I definitely think going to film school is a huge plus, because then you have the knowledge of like all the different departments. I mean, I'm still making stuff where I'm learning half of the lingo, and like I don't, a lot of people that go to film school, they can make a film entirely themselves, like shoot it, edit it, everything.
Right.
I'm not that kind of filmmaker. So it's harder for me. A lot of people, like, that make music videos, do everything themselves. And so when people hit up me for a music video, I'm like, well, I need a whole hire a crew. I'm not one of those like DP editor directors in one, which is super helpful when you're starting out to be able to do all of that stuff.
That's very interesting. All of our other guests, they tended to start from the bottom, and then they're, the PA, and they worked up under somebody else all the way up to their feature. You literally did it the opposite. You started Slaughter Movie House first. You met industry people after. Then you made a movie with that amazing. You did it opposite, and you did it so well for somebody who, I guess, even after all these years, still kind of a novice, right?
I did start off directing, but I did realize, I think I realized young, the power of like networking or promoting anything. Even when I was a hairstylist at like 18, I would go to like punk rock shows and pass out my like flyers for getting your haircut by me, because I wanted those kind of clients, not just like
That's awesome.
normal people only.
Smart.
No offense.
Right.
Realize how to like connect and do that stuff. Even it's weird because I'm also incredibly socially anxious and shy, but so I don't know
Same.
how. But so I've also worked on other people's films, and I even to this day I'm not like above, I'll PA for someone else. But it was, yeah, I was just on a couple friends' sets, and then I decided I wanted to try to make something. But making the stylish short film was on like an education. I not only my main producers, they're also double as the DP and production designer on both the feature and short. They kind of really like taught me what was really important, and so did my assistant director on that. I never didn't have one on Call Girl, and normally don't have one on shorts, but they taught me the importance of like taking care of everyone. No matter the budget of your movie, like making sure everyone has somewhere to sit for lunch, like the little things
Right.
that was instilled in me through these people. And like being like my DP was like, you have to have your storyboards done by this day, or we won't be able to make the shot list and we won't be able to make the schedule. And so I learned all of this through them. It was really like an education.
It's good.
So thankful to them. Still just got off a meeting with them about I helped produce a film called Black Mold that they worked on as well, that my friend John directed, that's playing festivals right now. So we're a big film family still working together.
I've noticed that the female filmmakers, they all say that they have their film families that they've collected along the way as they've worked with different people. So now they know who to call for what job. They know their personalities. They know they work well together. And you come to rely on the same people after a while.
Yeah, I feel like that's a hard thing to find, because you can't. Because you kind of have to, like, it's like any relationship, you kind of have to try it and see if it works.
Right.
I had to learn kind of how to stand up for myself. I have to be able to comment, you know, on things. And not everything's positive. You have to be able to tell people, like, this needs to change or whatever. And that at first was very hard for me. But then you have to come to realize it's not personal. Everyone's trying to make the best thing. So we all need those kind of notes.
Black Mold.
Yeah, you guys got to check. It's actually going to make its international premiere next Friday at Fright Fest in London. But we first premiered last in April at Panic Fest. But it's making its rounds. We're about to announce a few more festivals this fall it's going to. And yeah, actually, I did hair on the film as well. Like, I was the hairstylist for the actors, which I had never done before. So it was a really fun new experience.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that. Perfect.
I do hair and I make movies, but I rarely do hair on movies. I don't do it on my own movies.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense, though.
But I am the kind of director that, I'm sure this doesn't happen with anyone else because they're not also hairstylists, where I go out to the actor and, like, move their hair, like, right before we say action or something.
That's funny.
Well, I was watching, I was just curious. I was watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 4K that just came out, and, there was that new doc on there, yes. And you were doing interviews on there, which is, I was like, whoa, wait, that's the chick from the stylist. But, like, how did you get involved with that? Like, are you, like, did you reach out to them, or did they reach out to you because, like, you're a huge Texas Chainsaw fan, or?
They, it's called The Legacy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I haven't even watched it yet. It's killing me.
Oh, really?
They reached out to me. It was produced by Second Sight Films, but it's also released on the US version, which I think maybe MPI put out. The producers over in Second Sight's a UK company. If you guys know, they put out boutique versions of films, and oh my God, the version of Texas is so beautiful, but I've got to buy a region free player still. But, the producer of that, Philip Escott, he reached out to me. I was like, I geeked the hell out when I got the email. But yeah, I think it's thanks to me being very vocal about my Texas Chainsaw love. So we, you know, recorded it here in Kansas City remotely. I was just so geeked out, but I've yet to see the final thing. When the trailer first came out last year around this time, there was a tiniest clip of me in the trailer. This is it. This is all I've ever wanted.
That's awesome.
Documentary, my favorite movie.
You're in it quite a bit, and you seem like an expert. So,
oh man, okay. It's funny that you bring it up, because also, well, today is August 18th. It's the 50 years since the date in the movie.
Oh my God, that is
Texas Chainsaw Day.
Oh my God,
officially, but I was gonna go up and buy the U.S. version because I'm like, well, I'm gonna. I still need to buy a region-free Blu-ray because I have other foreign releases. Mm-hmm. But I've got to see this documentary now. I can't wait.
Right.
Yeah, that's where I watched it. I bought both the steel book from Dark Sky, and I got the imported Second Sight one. Nice. Just because it's gorgeous. And yeah, that's the one I watched it on, was the steel book from the US.
That Second Sight one has that crazy, it's like a book that is humongous.
It's a massive book. It's incredible. Kill somebody with that thing.
There's so many incredible chainsaw releases at this point. Yeah. I don't even know how many.
It's hard to keep up.
Keep releasing them. I love it.
That's right.
Did you have connections to him through Arrow or something, and like doing the UK Arrow release of Stylist or something?
No. I really think it was just through the film scene. He just emailed me one day. I don't know who gave him my email address. The horror film scene is very small and very close, which I love.
Yeah, any upcoming projects that you do besides this one that you're stoked about that you're doing?
There is, but I also have I have a new feature in post-production that I directed that we shot in February and March. We are not yet releasing the title. I wish I could talk about it more. It's a home invasion film meets like a haunted house film. It's produced by Ed Sanchez, the director of the original Blair Witch Project. And written by Adam Caesar. He's more known for his novels. He wrote the Clown in the Cornfield series. But I'm really excited about it. But we're kind of finishing up editing now and doing lots of stuff. So I'm not sure if we'll try to play festivals this year or we'll wait till next year. But I'm excited about that, to have something new coming out. But other than that, I've been just trying to motivate myself to write, which is really hard for me. I don't even feel comfortable calling myself a writer because I don't do it that often.
Right.
And the writers I work with just work so fast. And it seems, I'm like, how do you guys do this?
That's because you're a filmmaker.
But it's a catch-22 because I do prefer direct stuff that I'm much more connected to, like the stylists. I wrote with people, like I wrote the first drafts and then let them help me like build it from there. Mm-hmm. So I have realized that when I make something more personal, I enjoy it more, and I think the product is better because of personal connection. It just naturally, that's just how it is. I have something that's not horror at all that I really want to make, but it also still needs work. But I've been working on it for over a year. It's a feature script.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome. That's actually what I was just going to ask. Is it like, are you wanting to stick in horror or branch out into other genres?
Yeah, I definitely want to branch out. I love horror, but more than anything, I just like stuff that really like emotionally resonates with people. And with the stylist, I was trying to make, you know, more like a sad, dramatic horror movie. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to show that I can do all the things in that one movie.
Right.
But yeah, I love horror. I want to keep making it, but I also really love just, you know, emotional character focused stories, no matter the genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it, when I was watching it, like I picked it up just because it's Arrow and I'm an Arrow nerd. And so like, I didn't have any idea of your filmography before then, or like, I didn't really know about you at the point. And like, so I was just expecting another one of those like newer horror schlocky kind of things. And then I'm watching, I'm like, holy fuck, this thing's classy as fuck. Like this is, this is actually good. And like, I'm like, it's the kind of thing that I could show to other people that aren't horror fans and they'd totally be into it. So I was like, oh, fuck it.
True.
Thank you. Yeah. And getting picked up by Arrow was a freaking dream come true. They're so good to work with. People who don't even know who the heck we are or the movie watch it thanks to just, you know, Arrow's reputation, and like, you can't, that's the coolest thing ever.
So what was it like working with the Soskas? I hear you work with, what was it, ABCs of Death?
Yeah, it was like a thing they asked me to shoot here in Kansas City, so we weren't working like in the same space. They asked me to shoot a scene for their segment from the ABCs of Death part 2. And it was actually the same week we were shooting Call Girl, and Tristan, I don't know if she first told me they were going to ask me something, because Lawrence Harvey is in that shot that they wanted, and he was with me, so it was like a matter of amazing convenience, or like
crazy
being in the right place.
Perfect.
When they asked me, I was so excited. But to my surprise, when I saw the premiere, which I can't believe they didn't tell me, but also it was awesome. Their segment was T is for torture porn, if you saw it. And this piece was not used in their segment. It was put at the very end of the film as like a secret scene, like a Marvel thing at the very end of the credits. So you probably haven't seen it yet. but so like originally, well, I don't even know. I'm so I don't know if I'm not supposed to say this. I don't care. The original story for the segment was going to be like, if you've, sorry if people, I'm spoiling this, but it came out like 10 years ago.
Right.
Kristen's like auditioning for these creepy porn dudes. And when they start being creepy, suddenly tentacles come out of her.
Yeah.
I can't even say this for this. Okay. And yeah. Start doing things to these men, which is mm-hmm. great and disturbing. And it was going to cut out from there to Lawrence, like as if he was watching that on, like, and masturbating to it.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's no way to talk about this in a clean way. So, like, he was going to be like, how the he says it, he's supposed to respond to like what's happening on the video and be like, how the fuck am I supposed to wink to that with his beautiful British accent? And I think, and I don't even blame them. I think like our footage looked considerably less quality because we were just shooting on like a DSLR, not a like nice 4K red camera that their segment was shot on. I think this was a decision of the ABC's producers that they decided to put it at the end of the movie. So it's almost, so it's like Lawrence is commenting on the movie as a whole. Like, how's he supposed to masturbate to that?
That's smart.
So it was a fun surprise, but I was like, oh, I'm sure they took it out because it didn't look as good. But when I was watching the premiere, which they like satellite premiered it from Fantastic Fest at other Alamo draft houses, which they should do that more often.
Oh yeah.
So we got to watch like the world premiere and the segment plays and the scene's not in there. And I'm just like devastated. I'm like, why didn't they warn me? Oh God. And then the end of the movie plays and it comes on and I just like freaked out. I'm like, it's at the very end. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Although the credits are so damn long that I was like, no one's going to see this freaking thing. There's, you know, 20, I don't know the alphabet.
We'll see it because you watch till after the credits because there can mm-hmm. be something back there. We don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
Audiences are trained now. It was so Marvel. Cool.
I mean, I'd love to be, I had wished they would continued on that because I wanted to be like, I wanted to finally get asked to make a real segment in either VHS or ABCs. I'd love like that, those anthologies that my shorts are a part of, that's like a reverse thing. There's these companies that go around and just kind of collect shorts and then throw them together as an anthology mm-hmm. versus like movies like ABCs or VHS where it's a, you know, set out from the start.
Yeah.
But I also worked with, they used to do every year this little anthology in February for Women in Horror Month where they would do this, like the intention was to like inspire people to donate blood. But so I made anthologies for them for that for a couple years, but they've always been super supportive and helpful for me with me or to give me advice or to talk whenever. I really like put thought into surrounding myself with the people I wanted to be like and make work and hopefully work with.
Y'all know her company is called Six Tape Production. I thought that was kind of brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. And I stole it from someone, but I asked them for their permission. This writer Abby Stutzer, she used to write for a local newspaper and she wrote an article about me and like titled it Six Tape something. I was like, I love that. I love how it's obviously a play on sex tape. And
right.
Like, can I steal that? Cause I need to use it. Although I don't know if it helped when I made a short called Call Girl, even though, so I'm like a huge sex worker ally, but
no,
Call
but
Girl
that's
actually
perfect.
Got kicked off of it. Facebook at one point just for the title of the movie. And I'm like, it said,
wow.
I have it in like its handle, like film to make it clear, but whatever.
Right.
I got it back on, but it was a panic for a moment. I was like, oh fuck. Like I need this to promote the movie.
It was a pleasure talking
so much.
To you.
I mean, I'm always excited to keep talking about, especially the stylist or anything, but you know, with horror or I think a lot of film, but especially horror films, you know, they can grow over time. It's not just like it comes out and it's over, you know.
Sure.
Like, and so I'm always appreciative that to still be talking. I mean, it's been almost 3 years since we first premiered. You know, we hope to keep growing a fan base over time. When you have a smaller film, you got to keep talking about it if you can.
Oh, trust me,
No.
you'll be at the conventions in 20 years, and you're gonna get lineups of people with tattoos of the stylist and all this shit.
I've been saying I need to get one. I know there's two people in the world that have them already.
That's awesome.
Ah, nice.
And I'm like, damn it. Because I have lots of tattoos, so I'm like, I still need to get one. At least like some scissors that are bloody or something.
Right?
Scare my clients more.
That's
I
right. Yeah.
have newer client, like a lot of my clients, they know me really well. They've known about my film stuff, but my newer ones, and I'm like, yeah, I made a movie. It's called The Stylist, and it's about hairstyles that kills people. And they're like, as they're sitting in my chair, like, I'm terrified now. And it's even better
Yeah.
that the salon in the movie, the feature version, is where I work. That's
Oh, that's so
actually where I
good.
work.
That's so good.
This is the number one place for macabre cults, classics, and horrors. For synopsis, reviews, and news, go to macabre.com. Thank you for listening. Signing out until the next one.